Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's 8 o'clock on a Friday. That means it's time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our man, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD, and Talking with TD. TD, what's up, man? How we doing?
Hey, good morning, fellas. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Hope you're doing well. And TD, obviously, yesterday the news coming out that the Titans are moving away from Adam Humphries, the decision to cut him. I don't think necessarily surprising in this conversation. In your opinion, does that make it more likely that Corey Davis is back in the fold? Less likely? Does it change your opinion at all one way or the other?
No, it doesn't really change my opinion, but it obviously gives them more bargaining power as far as more money to put on the table for Corey Davis. So in that aspect, I would say yes. And we've talked about it extensively. He's a guy that really need to look strongly at bringing back just because of how big of a part of the offense he was. So I think, you know, it could help in that aspect.
So TD, we've been talking about all these different moves they can make and who do they need to try to keep and all this stuff and who can they go out and get. And look, admittedly, I did a lot of that without really looking at the numbers. And so this week you really look at them and it's going to be tough just to be able to have a team that's, to me, even as good on paper as last year's team. I think you're going to have to sacrifice some things to be able to go kind of transform your defense. But we've been talking today, TD, about the idea of the restructuring deals and pay cuts and things like this. In your experience, I guess, first of all, in teams you've covered or even just your recollection, what would be like the biggest number that you know of a team doing something like that? Like, to me, it's like a random guy here and there. And do you think that this offseason, which is going to be so different with the cap going down for a lot of teams who are in cap stress, like you see a lot more of that? And could the Titans do multiple restructurings, you think, to try to make this possible?
Yeah, well, I've seen teams in the past do it. I remember the Eagles, they did it in 17, and they managed to add guys like Alshon Jeffery, Torrey Smith during the season. They added Jay Ajayi. They added Chris Long. They added LeGarrette Blount. And they just found ways. And it's really just a matter of kicking the can down the curb. But at some point, those chickens, they come home to roost, and you have to pay. You're kind of seeing that with the Eagles now. You see that with the Saints also. And that's something that's definitely on the table for the Titans. I think you have to look at it with a little bit of a different perspective with this matter, because what happened with COVID and the pandemic, it has put a stress on everyone, but the salary cap, right? It kept it from having that annual $10 to $15 million growth that it has. So this year was projected originally to be, you know, around $198 to $200 million, and here it is at $180. So there is a little bit of stress there. I say all that to say this: at some point, it's going to shoot back up and get back on course to the projected growth, because at some point, we're going to get through this, and we're going to have, you know, thousands of people in the stands at Nissan Stadium and everywhere else. And that's where that growth happens. So you can kick the can down the road in this instance with the understanding that there's going to be that buffer at some point. So I think that's something the Titans could do. They're really going to have to look at it. When you look at guys, you know, like Malcolm Butler, when you look at guys like Ben Jones, who I know Jarrett Stillman is like adamant about releasing, and I don't think that's a smart move. I think those are guys where you could talk to them and look at restructures and shifting things around to where they get the money up front and it doesn't hit on the cap, right? You get it to convert it to bonuses.
TD, I want to get your thoughts on the latest in the Isaiah Wilson situation. Obviously, the tweet earlier this week that was deleted a few minutes after about him being done playing football with the Titans, and now the reports this week of him being shopped around by the Titans. Do you think it's realistic that the Titans will be able to find a suitor that's willing to actually make a trade for Isaiah Wilson?
I think it's realistic that they'll find a suitor, but, you know, just because they're going to find somebody, that doesn't mean that person or that team is going to give up a lot. I'll be surprised if they get more than a sixth or seventh rounder for him, But, you know, at this point, that whole situation is, you always, I was brought up to try to gain understanding of things. And it's just very difficult to gain or even get a grasp on why all of this and how this has happened. I could see a team trading, but, you know, the value is not going to be much.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if you get a six-round pick to unload that deal at this point, it's probably – I mean, it's obviously still brutal a year after using a first-round pick on him, but I guess I would think of that as a win, especially given the you know, all the financial constraints we're talking about here, right? I mean, that's still – it could be a lot worse. You're going to take a bath otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a win if you're able to get some type of compensation for him and get that contract off the books. I think a team like the Jets would be perfect for him. He could go in and, you know, imagine them having Mekhi Becton and, you know, getting Isaiah Wilson off of the NFI list, I guess we could call it, you know, and back onto the field. I think that would be good. It'd be a homecoming for him, so that's an option. The Ravens, they are going to need somebody to play right tackle eventually with you know, Zeus on the market, right? Orlando, I forget his last name. But, you know, those are guys that Orlando Brown. You got to look at those options. So I think those are teams that they could trade for.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, TD, Jarrell Casey released yesterday by the Denver Broncos. Hey, look, I think it's extremely unlikely that there's a reunion here in Nashville between Jarrell Casey and the Titans, but we've got that as our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter, and 59% so far say the Titans should bring back Jarrell Casey. Number one, what do you think of that, and do you think there's any chance at all that Jarrell Casey is back with the Titans?
Yeah, you're always going to have that sentimental value, right? Number 99 in the program, but number one in their hearts, right? Jarrell Casey's a guy that everyone loved here in Nashville. So that poll is going to be jaded. I don't really think it's going to happen, and I don't really think it's something that should happen at this point. You just kind of, once a split, I think you just got to leave it as a split and just move on and look at ways to make this team better now and in the future. And that's not to say he wouldn't bring value, but I just don't think it's a move that they would make.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a move he would make, right? After the feelings from last year. I mean, those are still pretty fresh. What would you pay J.J. Watt if you were a GM right now?
Yeah, I wouldn't go above $10 million, you know, annually. That's just like, that would be the cap. I would do something along the lines of a 2-year deal, 3-year max. But you just look at the way he has gradually going downhill, and even as a younger man, he had some injury issues. I think really you have to be wary of not paying for the name and paying for the guy that you're getting now. And he's really good in spurts. If you watch, you'll see a stretch of, you know, 3 or 4 plays, you know, a few series where it's like, wow. But then you see a stretch where it's like, that's not the same guy that I'm used to seeing. So you got to pay for that, and I think, you know, his value is really capped at $10 million per, in my opinion.
TD, as you look at the numbers and some tough decisions that the Titans are going to have to make as they continue through this offseason here, Joe and I kind of feel like it's becoming more and more of a foregone conclusion that maybe Kenny Vaccaro is not a part of this team. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree, and I hate that's becoming – more and more of a reality, because Kenny Vaccaro is one of my favorite guys, though. I love watching him play, that reckless abandonment. You know, you see a guy like that comes down and takes on offensive linemen and, in fact, blows them up. You see the way he tackles. You see his hustle. He's just a really, really fun player to watch. If you love football, like, you'll love watching Kenny Vaccaro. But, I mean, the business is the business, and in this case, they're going to have to work from a position of depth to support a position of depletion, right? You know, you need more money to add on to the pass rush, and unfortunately they're strong at safety, so that's where they could take away some of that money and kind of rob Peter to pay Paul.
Great guy to talk to, too. Like, huge loss for us. Yeah. You know, I always think about us first, and that would be tough. You know, on the restructuring front, TD, what about like Saffold? It's a big number. I also think he's just a really important part of what they do. But what do you think about him as a potential target there and how receptive he might be?
That's a tough question because, I mean, of all of the free agent moves and things that they've done, that Roger Saffold acquisition may have been one of their best in the last three, or I say 3 years because since I've been here, but you could probably go back even further than that. So it's kind of tough to go to that guy and ask that, but Saffold is such a team player. I could see him doing that, but you just got to tread lightly, you know, when you go to him about that. I think there are other guys that you could do that with, too. So when it comes to restructure, I think it should be more in the aspect of converting things to bonus, right, to reduce the cap number that way, not as much, you know, taking away money or value of the contract.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD, Teron Davenport has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. TD, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. And if I could just plug real quick, Talking with TD this week, man, we had Jacoby Stevens on, right, from LSU, actually from Oakland, you know, the junior mayor of Murfreesboro.
That's right.
And then staying on the Murfreesboro tune, we had Robert Jones, the offensive lineman out of MTSU, and we got Dalen Hayes out of Notre Dame, an edge defender. Really good meeting with the Titans, and he talked about that. So make sure everyone listens to that, and it's where you get your draft content.
Absolutely. Talking awesome. With TD, Teron Davenport, one of the best in the business. Appreciate you, my man.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll continue to react to a little bit of what TD had to say there on the other side and get back into the release of Adam Humphries as well. What does that mean for the Titans moving forward? What could it mean for Corey Davis? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Will the Preds have a weekday game this season? It's your opportunity to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a prize pack, and the next chance to participate is Tuesday morning at 8:45. So make sure that you're tuned in for that. Also, we've got Terry Crisp coming up at 8:30 as well.
We also have a queue to call.
We do.
Later this hour for a pair of tickets to Sunday's Preds game against the Blue Jackets.
That is correct. So make sure you're listening for that if you want to be in the building on Sunday as the Predators take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. So we'll have Terry Crisp coming up at 8:30 as well to get into the game last night for the Predators, a 5-2 loss to the Detroit Red Wings. But right now, Joe, talking about the Tennessee Titans, and we mentioned it earlier in the show, the Titans made the decision yesterday to cut Adam Humphries, and I don't think a huge surprise that the Titans are moving on from Adam Humphries, but when you saw it, what was your reaction to that decision, and what do you think that could mean for Corey Davis as they move forward here? Obviously a decision to make with him as well. There's two.
What the? That's such a... Oh, how did I do that? I was unmuted, and I just muted myself.
There's two.
Get me out of here. Man. Inexcusable. You know what my first reaction was? Oh, crap, I got to change my column because I had just written my plan. I wrote my plan out, including got to keep Humphries.
Yeah.
So then rewrite it and make it sound like you knew all along, you know, like naturally Adam Humphries will be cut by the team.
Naturally.
I wasn't shocked at all. It's not like it's either or at all with Corey Davis. I'm not saying that, but.
Sure.
I've looked at it from the perspective of if you don't feel good about your chances of keeping Corey Davis, and maybe they do, but if you don't, which this is where maybe I've been influenced a little bit by numbers that people just throw around on the internet that aren't necessarily rooted in reality at all, but if you don't, and you know you also have a fight to keep Jonnu Smith, are you sure you want to cut the guy you have under contract who, granted, has been hurt too much? And is a big question mark, but is a good player. Like, is a really good slot receiver. Are you sure you don't want to make sure you have him and A.J. Brown together in case you lose those other two guys. That's how I was thinking about the Adam Humphries situation and why maybe – because he was one of the first people we talked about in terms of possible cuts, obviously. And we also – I mean, look, when someone has a concussion thing that lasts many weeks, you wonder about them voluntarily leaving the game too.
Yeah.
But in the end, it makes sense. You're only saving half. You know, you're still getting $5 million in dead money, but you're saving almost $5 million. And this does make me think that there's going to be a real effort on the Corey Davis front. Again, that shouldn't be surprising. And there's not totally an either-or, but I do I look at those two situations as somewhat related.
I do, too. And I agree. I think there is going to be an effort to keep Corey Davis. I also think there's only a certain number the Titans are going to be willing to go to with Corey Davis. And, you know, I did think about it. Like, what happens if you lose? Obviously, Adam Humphrey's gone now, but also lose Corey Davis. And when I put my plan out there the other day, that's how I've got this going down. You're in a tough spot in the wide receiver room. The other thought I had yesterday when this actually happened was, it's probably good to be Anthony Firkser right now, because I think he's going to be a pretty high target for them this offseason to bring him back in. He essentially was their slot receiver towards the end of the year, and I think he could get a significant bump in pay from what he had before.
Yeah, my little plan had them sign him for $2 million, but I might be selling him short. When you produce like that, and we're talking about the playoff touchdowns. I mean, this is a guy who's caught some really big passes for this team. You can probably command more than that, maybe more like $3, $4 million. So, and I think that's got to be a priority. I think it was anyway, but I think it's got to be now. Again, not knowing what's going on with Jonnu Smith. Because if you sit there and now you have to not only get depth, better quality and quantity at receiver, and you have to deal with your tight end room, at some point you run out of moves you can make.
You do. And also yesterday, Breon Borders released as well. Chris Milton released. And Coy in Clarksville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, asked earlier in the show, if you're the Titans, why in the world are you releasing Breon Borders? And look, I'm not surprised that Borders is released, but I do think when you consider at least the possibility that as you move ahead in this offseason, maybe one of the two of Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson may not be here next year. Trying to keep as much corner depth as you can, maybe not the worst idea if you're the Titans and John Robinson. So from that standpoint, I could see why there would be some, I don't know if surprise is the right word, but at least some hesitation.
Yeah, I think it's a little weird. It's not like some huge, oh my gosh, but it's a little weird because you don't know where that's going either. And I just thought he obviously fell out of favor. I mean, he had, I don't remember the game, he had a rough game after he had some good games. He had a real nice game at Indy, making some plays. He had a rough game in there, and you know, other guys got healthy, and we didn't see him much. But seems like as a four, as a five, he's not a terrible option.
So who do you think's next for the Titans as they go through their options here and look ahead to the plan they're formulating for the offseason? Who do you think is next to be cut? Because as we talked about in the last segment with TD, the more you kind of go through the numbers and just look at their roster, I think the more I start to think that Kenny Vaccaro not being here next year is probably just a reality at this point. And look, I think he's a really good player, but just based on the numbers that they have available to him right now and the needs they have at other positions, I think he's trending towards becoming almost a certainty that he's not here, just based on the numbers that they're going to have to move around.
Yeah, I'd agree, and that'd be my guess. Yeah, I'd go with Porth's shot there. It just he's the most no-brainer, because there's other positions where, like, I think it's a no-brainer that someone else is going to sign Jayon Brown, but obviously that's a different situation. You know, you're talking about a cut of someone under contract. I can't think of anyone else who is easier to read than him. And, again, it's not easy to do because he's been a really good player, but it's Amani Hooker's time. And that's why you drafted him where you did, and that's what you have to do in this league. So that'd be my guess.
Yeah, and it's interesting to kind of hear TD's perspective last segment when it comes to Ben Jones, because we've talked about maybe the idea of approaching Ben Jones with a restructured contract proposal, or maybe if it comes down to it, just outright moving on from Ben Jones. And TD didn't think that was such a great idea. He thinks Ben Jones is a very important player to this group. What do you think the chances are that Ben Jones just stays on the deal he's at right now and they just roll ahead with the offensive line that they've got in place?
See, I'd be surprised by that. I'd be surprised if there isn't some kind of move made with or to Ben Jones. It's, you know, $7 million cap hit for him at this point with all the other things you have going on. And I do think that he's a guy who maybe you could appeal to in this way and be able to work something out. So I think that we're going to hear some kind of news about Ben Jones in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty likely at this point. I think TD phrased it, tread lightly, if you're approaching Roger Saffold with that conversation. I would agree. I mean, he's just been so important for what they've done that, I mean, I guess you could see if Roger Saffold would entertain that thought, but if there's much pushback, I don't know how long I'd spend on trying to convince Roger Saffold to take less money.
Yeah, he's a natural person to look at because of the size of the deal. But like TD pointed out, I mean, this is one of the really good signings. And I consider Malcolm Butler that too. I mean, those are, for back-to-back years, those are the big signings, and they've both worked out. And they both may now need to be addressed or at least attempted to be addressed. Now, the Butler thing, again, my foolproof plan, which should get me hired as a GM somewhere in this league.
It should.
Include just cutting Butler. But could Butler be, approached too? Butler and Saffold? Call everybody. Yeah, everybody's calling the Texans and leaving messages. Just John Robinson, call all your guys and see who calls back.
I brought up our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter, talking about Jarrell Casey being released yesterday by the Broncos. And if you're a Titans fan, do you want him back? 57% say yes. Are you surprised by the results of that poll?
Well, no. I mean, to me, like if I'm a Titans fan, I want Jarrell Casey back. I want to know the terms. You don't want to pay him a lot of money. And I also have to know that Jarrell Casey, after the obvious just blindside that hit him last year and the anger that he expressed, it's not like he even did that podcast like the next day. That was like after a while to cool down, and he was still like, I can't imagine that he would be like, oh, hey, J-Rob, sounds great. And look, you have to know what this league is if you're in it. You do. And maybe that's calmed down. It's like, hey, he's just like any other GM in this league. This is what happens. But I would be surprised if he would seriously entertain that.
Ryan Porth, are you surprised by the result of this poll question so far? 57% of Titans fans say yeah. Bring Jarrell Casey back into the fold.
A little bit. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. Maybe if you get him for like $1 million, then maybe, yeah.
Yeah, if you could get him real cheap, I would like to have him back in the locker room, on the field, and all that stuff.
I think he would make a bigger impact in the locker room than he would on the field. I mean, there wasn't much gas left in that tank in his last year with the Titans. He poured it out in that playoff run. He missed most of last season. At his age, what is he really going to bring on the field?
That's a fair question.
It's a million or two. It's a flyer.
Maybe you get Casey and Watt in there.
Casey Watt. My plan includes Ndamukong Suh. So
Casey,
go there
Watt,
too.
Suh as well. Average age of 36 on the
best
line.
Best defensive line in the history of the NFL in 2015.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll switch gears. Terry Criss, Predators TV analyst, will join us. We'll get into the game last night against the Detroit Red Wings and look ahead to the action coming up this weekend against Columbus. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Terry Criss, Predators TV analyst. Crispy, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen, to Larry, Curly, and Mo. How are you three guys doing out there?
That may be too complimentary for us, Chris.
Way too kind.
I know, but you need a little boost sometimes.
We appreciate it. We appreciate you looking out for us. So, Crispy, obviously things did not go the way the Predators hoped last night against Detroit. After two games in a row where I thought they played pretty well, especially defensively, Pekka-Rinne looked great. Last night, a little bit shaky in net. What did you think of the game last night for the Predators against Detroit, and where do they go from here as they look ahead to back-to-back games against Columbus this weekend?
Probably I was expecting a different outcome because I thought the guys would really be jumping, really hopping. They pitched such a good, solid couple games. They looked like they were gelling. They were coming out. When you talk to the players, the coaching staff, they're all on the same page. They all kept saying the same things. And again, the other team jumps on us early with Glendening's goal. The guys fight back. They kept coming. And then it was just one of those nights where in the third period, I thought we were going to come back again. And as you said, Pekka had a couple that I know he wishes he had back. I know when to put it. So I think this is one of the games where this one, if I'm a player, would really tick me off, make me mad. And I would expect that they're going to be a little mad at themselves and whatnot for the effort they put on the ice. And that should inspire them and make them come out flying, fired up for the next couple of games. And I think I'm hoping that's what we're going to see. But I think the word, I guess, again, we're going to throw that dozy word out there, consistency. And it's driving me nuts, and the players and the coaches and everybody, but we've got to get a better consistency in our game.
No question. And, you know, Crispy, obviously, Pekka-Rinne has been tremendous this year. I mean, it's been one of the best stories on the team. Like you said, I mean, that wasn't his best game, and I don't know that this team can, the way it's constructed, the way it struggles to manufacture offense, can afford nights like that from the goalie. But what do you think? Is that a cause for concern? I mean, it's one bad night. He's had a lot of good ones. What do you think about him moving forward?
No, you know what? I've seen Peck over his career. I watch him. I love him. I've seen him have these games before. I've seen him have some games that were as bad probably as he could imagine having them, and three or four goals and maybe three of them bad angle or whatever. And he bounces right back, never fails. And I've never seen him not come right back on the next game or the next two or three games. And I would expect that from him. But again, Coach John Hines now is sitting in a position where he says, I've played Pekka, run him when he was hot, had a rough outing last night. Now do I run Saros? Do I put Saros in and see what he can do? That'll be the next question.
Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Crispy, I was watching the interview you did last night in the second intermission with Hal Gill and Chris Mason, and both of them brought up, you know, the front of the net, both defensively and offensively, not doing the things that you need to do in those two areas. I'm interested to get your vantage point on the offensive part of this, because I felt like last Saturday night in Columbus, they did a great job of getting to the front of the net and going there. So as you look at this team, how much of it is just developing a willingness to go to the front of the net that hasn't been there consistently enough, in your opinion?
I totally agree with you. Totally agree. And if you watch the guys that consistently in our games, when we do get to the front of the net, it's like a wanted list up on a poster. It's the same guys every night that do show up in front of the net, and it's the same guys every night that don't show up in front of the net. And any night that you see Trennan in our lineup or Olivier when they're healthy and can play, you'll find them at the net. You'll see them there. Arby used to, until I think he got wore down, he made a living in front of the net. The other night, the line, I think it was Halla and his unit,
yeah,
were all over the front of the net. Halla, Sissons, I forget the other one now.
Cunning. Yeah.
And they were a pest in front of the net. They played it. They were there. Other than that, it was hit and miss. And you can't consistently, you know, go over the board with one line. The other guy's got to follow. They've got to have... And Skilzy and Mason and I have, all three of us, been beating the drums on this, that we have to. And the coaches. I have heard Coach John Hines so many times in our interviews with him saying that we've got to get to the net, and we've got to break the blockade of the defenseman and stay there. And make. And when you see when we get goals, greasy goals, that's because we've gone to the net and either screened or got a deflection. And it's not a mystery. It's just out there.
So, Crispy, a player I've liked lately, and not just because he just scorched one on the power play to score, but Elie Tolvanen seems like someone who's, you know, he's maybe growing in confidence a little bit, making some plays, feeling more comfortable being a creator. Can you think back to, as a coach, did you have anyone maybe reminds you of him? Not even necessarily skill set, but you know, young player who maybe has high expectations, doesn't immediately live up to them. Maybe they were a little bit inflated, but kind of keeps cracking at it and eventually gets his opportunity.
I'm trying to think back in my coaching career. The one guy that came, but he blossomed in a hurry, was Gary Roberts. I mean, when he first came, he was sort of like, we had all veterans there. You know, we had like the Otto Plopinskys and Hunt, et cetera, and Robs was just sort of feeling great. And suddenly he burst out and decided he was going to be the guy to take the bull by the horns. He said, age had nothing to do with my performance. And he just, and him and Joe Neuendijk paired up, and I gave them Flurry for a while, then I gave him Joe Mullen, and he took off, and then he never looked back. So that would be one of the similar ones. But I'll tell you what, when you watch Tolvanen now, and I like what the coaches are saying about him, this kid's smart, he knows the game, and he's got a snapshot. I keep saying, the only guy who's got a better snapshot than him is Philip Forsberg, our hockey club. And when he uses it and gets to it, and I think once he adjusts to the fact that he's strong enough, and it doesn't hurt when you go to the front of the net or the corner, the odd time it will, you can see him coming, and he's coming out of it. I like the game, and I like the way they're bringing him along. He's hopefully going to be one of our future boys.
Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Crispy, to that point, Tolvanen has been on the power play as well, and that unit starting to come along with a little bit more consistency in terms of production. What are you seeing out there on the power play right now? What do you like about the power play right now?
Faster puck movement. They're snapping the puck around. Before, we used to kill 40 seconds on the sideboard. One guy would get it and go up and down the sideboards looking for an opening and try and pass across the box and it wasn't there, or try and put it back, and then we go to the other side. Now I like the movement. We've got movement on our power play. The guys move in and out. Last night, Granlund made a play on one. If you saw him move, he moved to the front, went to the back of the net, moved out again. They weren't post. They weren't standing still. We're getting movement, and we're getting the shooters. You've got Tolvanen out there. You've got Forsberg out there. Joey now is back in the slot. And I like that I see that Josi and Ellis are starting to crank it up again. They got cannons. Those guys can fire the puck. And the more they fire it, and the more that we get guys to the net, the better out. So I guess the power play is getting to know each other a little better now. And movement, both with their feet and with the passing of the puck.
Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. Crispy, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Always my pleasure, guys. Thank you very much, and y'all stay healthy out there.
Absolutely. You as well, my friend. And Terry Crisp joins us every week here at 8:30 on Robbie and Rex Road. And to his point, like it was noticeable. Like, you go back and watch the Granlund goal on the power play last night. Just watch the puck movement before that play happens. That was not happening earlier this season on the power play. I think they've made some good improvements in that area.
Yeah, they've had some pretty plays, and they look decisive doing them. So there are positives. There are positives to be found.
There are. Now,
there are negatives also to be found.
We will talk about some of those when we come back. After the loss to Detroit last night for the Predators, how close are they to getting to a point where they've got to start considering selling and making some changes to this roster? We'll discuss that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
So the Red Wings, with a 3-goal third, including one into an empty net, win this one 5-2.
You guys have talked a lot recently about playing more to the identity that you want. Did you still see some of that? Were you getting away from that a little bit? How do you see that shake out?
Yeah, a little bit of both, I would say. I thought we got away a little bit. Especially in the second, I thought we turned over too many pucks, and they're a pretty fast team. They had a lot of counter chances, a lot of odd man rushes. So I thought we got away from it a bit, just getting pucks deep and playing their end. So we got to get back to playing that way.
A tough one for the Nashville Predators last night. They fall 5-2 at the hands of the Detroit Red Wings. And, Joe, we've talked about it a lot this week. This was a crucial week for the Predators. You'd won two games in a row. You played great last Saturday night against Columbus, followed it up with a shutout performance against Detroit on Tuesday. But even after that, I mean, we talked about the game last night against Detroit and the back-to-back set this weekend against Columbus being crucial for this team, trying to claw their way back into the race. And with the schedule coming up with a bunch of games against Carolina and Tampa Bay and Dallas and Florida, schedule is about to get more challenging in a hurry for the Predators, not only with the quality of competition, but also just, I mean, how often you're going to be playing games as they move forward here as well. So lots of things that you feel, I think, concerned about if you're the Predators with your schedule moving forward. And it really begs the question of, are we at the point where the Predators are going to have to start looking at selling off some assets? And quite frankly, I think we are. I think we have reached that point where the Predators at least have got to start considering selling and moving ahead with some assets, especially some guys that we've talked about that are on one-year deals, Granlund, Halla. You know, Nick Cousins is on a two-year deal, but he's you know, probably a guy that could get a lot of interest as well. I mean, this team offensively right now, they just are so inconsistent. And really, it's gone past inconsistency at this point. They just seem to be inept offensively. They're 29th in the league in goals per game. You had a good performance last Saturday where you put up four goals. But then you followed up with two games against the Red Wings, two goals and a win on Tuesday, two goals last night. This team's just not good enough offensively. And I think we have reached the point where – if you're David Poile and the Predators, you've got to start considering selling off some assets, given, you know, what the trade deadline looks like this year and how I think that process gets sped up by the quarantine rules.
Now, I've had some pushback from some fans saying, okay, look at these forwards before Hines, under Hines. Are we sure this isn't about system/coaching? And that's really the issue. And then you're going to sell off some guys. You're going to give up on some guys when maybe they're not being utilized as well. And my answer to that was, okay, look, there may be something to that, to his system not fitting certain guys or getting the best out of them. But we saw, I mean, again, let's go back to the Dallas playoff series and tell me which forwards play well. I'll tell you which ones. Rocco Grimaldi.
That's about it.
I mean, did anyone else do anything in that series?
No.
I'll go back and look at the numbers. So, I mean, this has been – and then you go into last year and all – it was just a total slog of inconsistency. It wasn't as consistently barren offensively as this team is. So,
sure.
I mean, I think – so, like, not saying that there's nothing to that, but to me, you can't – I don't see how you could look at this and say everything was going great, and then Hines came in, and now all of a sudden everything's going poorly. I mean, it was already getting to that point. That's why you made a coaching change.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And some of this, like, I mean, we talked about it. Victor Arvidsson doesn't have a goal in 11 games. He's got two goals on the season. Matt Duchene, he's had a lot of really good chances, but he's not scoring right now. I mean, that's a problem. Johansson's been out recently. I get that, but he's got zero goals on the season. Like, the one guy that you feel good about right now offensively is Philip Forsberg. And we've talked about some steps that Eli Tolvanen has taken as well. But, I mean, it's really Forsberg that you feel good about offensively right now. And that's pretty much it. I mean, Granlund's playing okay. I think he could be a really attractive piece for you as this goes down here to sell off with 1 year left on his deal. You could probably get a pretty decent haul for him in return. But really, other than that, Forsberg's the guy that's playing well offensively right now, and that conversation really ends at that point. And that's just as well as he's played and as good as I think he is, and I think Roman Josi's playing a lot better as of late as well, it's just tough to win that way when you've got two guys going. You're not giving yourself a chance.
You're just going to ignore Kelly Yarncroke's four goals? I'm just throwing it out there. He's got four goals.
Yeah, the problem with him is he'll score two goals in a game, and then he won't score again for 35 games.
Is that a shot? Is that a called shot?
No, it's not a called shot. I'm just saying that is that has been the case with him before.
Yes. That was a little sarcasm on my part. Yeah, they've got issues, and I'd like your prediction for, I don't know, let's say a month from now. Who's in the line? Who's not in the lineup that's in the lineup right now?
A month from now? Oh, I mean.
So this is, again, it's not to the trading deadline, but it might be to the Canadian trading
deadline. Right. I mean, it's kind of two different things here. I think the trading deadline this year probably going to get activated a little bit earlier. You'll start to see some moves fly around. Like, I mean, we talked about it earlier this week. Like, at what point do you start giving Philip Tomasino some playing time? Like, I think you've got to factor in a couple things there. Number one, do you feel like he's ready for it? I think he's pretty close to being ready for some playing time at the NHL level. Number two, his contract. Like, do you want to burn an entry level a year off that contract? I mean, that's something you've got to consider there as well. I think people overrate that sometimes. If the kid's ready to play and let him be a part of the solution quicker at that point, and maybe you can speed this thing up a little bit. I would say if it continues this way, number one, Rym Pitlick ought to be coming up regardless pretty soon. I mean, the kid can play. The kid is lighting it up at the AHL level. You need offense. Honestly, if I'm the Predators, like, I'd bring Rym Pitlick up today and let him play this weekend and see what it looks like. I don't think they're going to do that. They've got some younger options that they have that I think you would be wise to start considering just to see what you have.
Well, so you're talking before you make any deals. Like, you're just talking bring those guys up now.
I mean, if it continues this way and they start selling off pieces, like, you would figure Halla, probably not going to be here. Granlund at some point, probably not going to be here. Brad Richardson at some point, probably not going to be here. I mean, those are guys on expiring deals. We've talked about Nick Cousins. We've talked about the rumors floating around about Matthias Ekholm. Maybe you do make a big move like that at the trade deadline this year. But I think for sure, if you're sellers, Granlund's not going to be here. Hall is not going to be here. Brad Richardson's not going to be here. I mean, those guys are guys that could be attractive for some playoff teams around the league, especially Granlund.
I would add Ekholm to that list.
Yeah, I think there's a strong chance.
You can get something pretty darn good for him when you can factor in the team acquiring him would get him for two postseason runs.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think there's a strong chance. Now,
it's just a question of, you know, are you sure you don't want, are you sure he's not part of your post-blow-up core, preferred core? But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to get stuff back to build back up, then you have to give up players you don't want to give up. What about Arvidsson? I mean, right now, he's on a good contract. He's only 27. I just feel like, you know, he's lost something.
We're getting to the point with him where if the value is high on Arvidsson, you may want to think about selling. Like, it's gotten to the point with him now that he's got two goals in 19 games this year. I still think he does a lot of good things. I think he does a lot of things the right way. I think some of the story with him this year has been being snake bit. I mean, he's had some opportunities. But it can't just be everyone being snake bit for the last year and a half. Like, there's got to be, at some point, somebody powering through and breaking out of that. Forsberg's
like Forsberg
done that
does,
so far this
right.
year. It can't just be him breaking out of it. So, look, I don't know if I do it mid-season. Like, that may be more of an off-season thing that you consider if you're the Predators. But, I mean, I would listen. If you get the right offer, like, there was a time with his contract being what it is and the production being what it was that the untouchable list we talked about, Victor Arvidsson would have been pretty close to being on that list. And I just don't think you could feel that way that anymore if you're the Predators.
If you had to pick one of those two centers, and it's like, okay, this center is going to fulfill his entire contract with your club. The other one will be gone shortly. Which one are you picking to go with? Which one are you riding with?
I don't know. That's tough. I mean, I think Duchesne has played better than Johansson this year. I think that he's generated more than Johansson has this year. And obviously, injuries aside, I mean, that point of it's obvious, but I don't know. I mean, I think, number one, we had somebody ask about this earlier. The likelihood of you being able to trade one of those two guys midseason this year, I think, is almost zero.
Yeah, like, I'm thinking a little bit farther down the line.
Yeah, like I think the expansion draft conversation with Seattle could be a big part of that as well. But I think it's virtually, I don't know if impossible is the right word, it's very unlikely that somebody's going to take one of those guys in the middle of this season. So that to me is out. I know some Predators fans have wanted to do that. I don't think that's going to happen.
You didn't answer
the
question.
I would lean Duchesne.
Okay. You would lean Duchesne to keep?
To keep.
Yeah. I probably it's would tough, too. Though. But I mean, Johansson has, it's still like Johansson is, when he gets it all going, it's like, oh, yeah. He does stuff Duchesne can't do.
I hear you, but when's he going to get it going?
Right. Now, yeah, that's why I would probably side with you on that, but it's close.
I think it's close. Porth?
I would probably lean Duchesne. I think Duchesne has more longevity in the NHL.
Just the way he skates?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Sure.
And, you know, Johansson has suffered some injuries.
Yep.
He was laboring last night, I thought, at times. Yeah, and I know he's been off, too, and that's going to happen some. Game shape and all that and whatnot.
Especially with how quick they're coming this year. Like, you get out of that for a while, it's hard to get back in. You're catching up to a moving train. But, I just do. I think they've reached the point where you're going to have to start making some decisions with this roster. And, Port, to your point, maybe that gets highlighted even more this weekend if things don't go well against Columbus. So it could be very interesting coming in on Monday.
Yeah, I said earlier that this almost feels like a last-ditch effort to try to get back into whatever playoff picture you can get in. I mean, this is a Columbus team that is reeling as well. Yeah. They've lost three in a row. They haven't really played well in the last month. If you can't sweep these two games or get 3 points, then kind of feel like, you know, as the calendar turns to March next week, it's going to become even more reality of what this conversation has been in the last 10 minutes.
Absolutely. So we'll continue to discuss that throughout the week next week as well, react to what happens with the Predators this weekend against Columbus. When we come back, we're going to switch gears and dive into a little bit of Tennessee football. What do we think of the staff that Josh Heupel has put together, and what could it mean for the quarterbacks specifically? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.